PL-205. Justice Funk is recused in this matter. Mr. Schultz, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the courtroom. And you may proceed.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the court, Mr. Schultz. I represent the appellant Golden Plains Services, Inc., who I will refer to as GPS. This appeal comes to the court from a decision of the Nebraska Public Service Commission finding that open class carriers can provide service only on a prearranged basis and not on a demand basis. Historically, this matter gained traction by discussion between the parties. A cease and desist order was entered by the commission in December of 2015. In March of 2016, the appellant filed a petition for a declaratory ruling with the commission. The commission came back, said it was a matter of statewide importance. They opened their own investigative docket as PI-205, then took comments and held a hearing, rendered an order, which, as I said, indicated that open class carriers could only provide prearranged services. The rule at issue here is rule under 291 Nebraska Administrative Code, Chapter 3, Rule 10.01C. It's the definition sections. Within that definition sections are definitions of limousines, taxis, and open class carriers. Essentially, the standard review is de novo on the record, meaning that this court can reappraise the evidence of record and reach its own independent conclusions. The appellant basically asserted three assignments of error: that the finding itself limiting service to prearranged service was wrong, that the PSC's so-called interpretation is contrary to its own rule adoption, past practice, and interpretation, and that it needed to undertake an administrative rule making to correct or change the rule, in fact, in this case, to change the rule from 180 degrees different interpretation. And finally, that if the court finds the rule to be ambiguous, the court should give consideration to the color of right concept as outlined in the brief, and that the appellant operated the authority for a period of years under the belief that they were entitled to do so.
What is an open class carrier under this terms described herein?
It's something, all I can tell you is it's something different than limousine service. Limousine service is, as part of the definition, is defined as prearranged and not demand service. Taxi service is described as on a prearranged or demand basis, and open class has no language in the rule describing either prearranged or on demand service.
So it could actually be the same type of vehicle that would be doing what a taxi does or what a limousine does.
That's a possibility. That's correct. Okay. In fact, that was the appellant's assumption. As I mentioned, unlike those other definitions, there is no reference to prearranged or on-demand service. The commission, in that interpretation and its ruling in June of 2016, clearly defies the language of its own original rulemaking in 2002 when it addressed what open class service constitutes. And at that time, the Commission's intent could not have been more clear. In the February 5th, 2002 order, when open class service was addressed for the first time, not in the rule itself, but in the legislative history, underneath the rule, the explanation of what it meant, following appeared. It said that open class services shall include services made by a prearranged fare contract or on-demand service. And that's page 3 of the 2002 order referred to in the brief. Couldn't be clearer. That's what the commission said.
Well, how did we get to this point then?
Well, if that language had been put in the rule, then we wouldn't have had to look to the legislative history. And it would have, I think, be a non-issue. But for whatever reason, it wasn't. I don't know whether it was oversight or intentional.
And this is legislative history in front of the Public Service Commission.
That's correct. That's correct. And it's ruled...
Counsel, the document that you're quoting from on page one, at the bottom, the commission adopted its own order, correct?
That's correct.
And within that, it says the amendments to these rules are to be followed by commentary, where appropriate, to explain the commission's rationale for these amendments. So what you read to us then is their rationale for the open class.
That is correct.
Okay. I don't know what the state's going to argue exactly, but let's say they argue that these are just commentary and that's it. How would you respond to that?
Well, why go to the effort to explain and literally lay out? I mean, it was aware of the other definitions. Why the commission didn't include those in the order itself, I don't know. But clearly the intent was you should be, as an open class carrier, be allowed to provide both types of service.
Now, in some of the other ones that you've mentioned, if they want to be specific, when I say they, the Public Service Commission, have they put that limiting language in other carrier definitions?
Yes, and they're the same rule, it's just a different subsection. And it says limousine service is on a prearranged and not demand basis. Taxi service is on a prearranged or demand basis. They've done it. They knew how to do it. For whatever reason, they didn't do it. And the assumption is it must mean something, open class service must mean something broad, which it appears to be. And it should not be restricted to one of those two, because clearly the commission's intent when it adopted the rule was something else.
Something different.
Did the record show that on a case-by-case basis on the issuance of certain open class authorizations that there were such restrictions?
Interestingly enough, it did. Starting after 2002 and for the last 15 years, the commission has addressed many open class certificates and imposed, for example, a restriction against taxi service or arranging that a trip must be arranged 12 or 6 hours in advance on certain certificates, which seems odd to me, because if you couldn't provide those services, why would you have to restrict them in those? That's what the commission did. And in this case, there's no such restriction in GPS's certificate.
Does GPS's certificate predate all those other...
It does not.
So they... For whatever reason, they
just... For whatever reason, exercising their discretion, which under the rules they can do, and when an application comes before them, the authority can be restricted by geographic, by type of service, by vehicles, whatever else is in the public interest.
Not to put words in the state, we'll hear from the state shortly, but in the state's brief, they seem to place a lot of emphasis on the proposed amendment to Title 291 case that we had in 2002. What's your viewpoint on that?
I would say there's a variety of differences in those cases, one of which is the A1 ambassador case that arose in a rulemaking proceeding. In other words, the commission was doing what it should have done here, then a rulemaking proceeding starting to address that process. The A1 ambassador case addressed an unintended consequence. I don't think we can say that's the purpose here based on the definition. The ambiguity existed not by definition here. There was no ambiguity of the commission's intent, and also there's a different standard of review now than there was at the time that order was arbitrary and capricious. Now it's de novo.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Bartel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the Court. Jay Bartel, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Public Service Commission, or PSC. Nebraska by statute, section 75118.01, specifically authorizes the PSC to determine the scope or meaning of a rule or regulation. PSC exercised this authority in entering its order interpreting the scope and meaning of its rule defining open class service.
Do they have to be consistent with what they have done in the past?
I don't think there's an inconsistency here at all. They have specific authority, again, under the statute, to determine the scope or meaning of a rule. To the extent an order from 2012 says something to the effect that to provide flexibility and to, in essence, widen the distinction between open class and taxi service. Certain language was not included. Obviously, you can see testimony from commissioners during this particular hearing, the effect that what was going on here was far beyond what the commission had ever approved an open class carrier to do, which was specifically providing hailed, solicited service by as done by taxi providers. That's a totally different animal. And so,
how much deference do we have to give to the Public Service Commission's interpretation of its own rules?
Obviously, you have a de novo standard of review here, but I don't think it's inappropriate, given the evidence, to recognize the fact that the commission, again, on the record, indicated this is not the way its rule has been interpreted historically, and that this rule, interpretive rule, simply confirms the historic interpretation.
Counsel, how do you get around the order from 2002 in which they say they're explaining their rationale, and then they set forth open class on page 3, and right below it, as quoted by opposing counsel, they say our interpretation of open class is prearranged and or demand basis. How do you get around that?
Well, first, again, it also says the intent was to widen the distinction between open class and taxi. In the current order, the commission simply recognized that, in fact, it hadn't served that purpose. That, in fact, it was narrowing distinction. We had open class carriers actively providing what, again, historically was the province of only taxi service providers.
Well, then shouldn't they change the rule?
Well, I think it's important to look at
the language. There's no restricting language in open class carrier. Would you agree with that? There's no such thing as prearranged fare or on-demand within 1001C at all, is there?
No specific language, but again, there are two separate classifications.
Is there some principle that prohibits an overlap in the services amongst the certificates?
Well, again,
in other words, you get a certificate, you can do only one thing, or that same thing could be permitted under a different kind of certificate.
It's important, I think, to remember the specific kind of definition of demand service that's within the order in this case. It's defined as on-demand summoning, street hail, personal solicitation by the driver, or hawking. Again, there's personal contact between the driver and the passenger. That's something that's foreign to the notion of open class service. It's a prearranged service. And to the extent, there are instances where the line gets blurred, because you could say, well, it's a demand service if it's, quote, prearranged shortly before the actual service. I mean, for example, some authorities say it has to be 6 or 12 hours before. But if the call comes a half an hour before, you can say, well, that's almost like demand service. So I think what the PSC recognized in its earlier order is that could be considered a demand-type service. But that's different than the type of demand service that's addressed in this interpretive order, which deals with direct solicitation by the driver or accepting a hailed fare. I mean, the evidence...
I beg your pardon. So were there prior definitions that were the same as the one in front of us?
Well, there were two or three different definitions considered back in 2001 or 2, and ultimately that language was not included.
But all of that's, dare I say, before ride hailing is what it is today.
Well, that's a whole different issue with the advent of transportation network companies, Uber, Lyft. They were approved by the legislature. That's an additional kind of competition for taxi service, and that was mentioned in part of the testimony that that has affected the taxi industry, and that if open class carriers are also allowed to compete directly with taxi service, then that's a further erosion of what taxi service is, 24/7 carrier of last resort transportation for many people. And again, as the commissioners and staff noted at the hearing, open class service is not intended to provide that type of transportation. It's primarily limited to clients of DHHS who need transport for various appointments. It was never intended to compete directly with taxis. In the case of delivering that 24/7 on-demand service, either by solicitation of a client or through the driver.
What language in the existing regulation can we extract that intent from? I mean, I'm just reading open class three elements, and as I read those three elements, I'm not yet finding any language from which I can extract the intent that you're elucidating for the state.
You can't look at that rule in isolation. You have to look at the rules that surround it. You've got limousine service and you've got taxi service. Now, obviously, as pointed out, in taxi service, it says prearranged or demand. There has to be a difference between open class and taxi. Otherwise, open class and taxi are the same, and that's an absurd result in our view. The distinction, and this is what the order recognizes, is that, again, the on-demand type taxi service is not something that open class carriers were ever intended to provide. While there is some element of a demand to, perhaps, the way open class carriers operate, if they do it in a short time frame, that's not the same as direct personal contact between the driver and the passenger. That's not permitted for open class service, and the rule simply clarifies.
So why is that not set out in the rules?
Well, because the situation arose very recently. It wasn't until GPS began doing this type of thing in, I think as Mr. Davis from the Omaha Cab Company testified, in the Old Market area in Omaha, the entertainment districts, and they were putting lights on top of their vehicles. They had their phone numbers and lettering on the side mimicking the appearance of taxis. And they brought this to the commission's attention because, again, this is not something that historically has ever been done or approved. And that was the basis for the commission's cease and desist letter to GPS, which ultimately led to their petition for declaratory ruling and the commission holding hearings and issuing its interpretive order.
The license may not be the right word, but that's my vernacular. The license that was issued to GPS doesn't include any special restrictions about on-demand or prearranged.
The authority itself, no, does
it
not
just
mention
that. You've got open class.
This rule applies generally to all open class carriers, and this interpretation is intended to that effect. And again, if I could bring it back to the Title 291 case, this is very much the process that occurred in that case. In that case, it was the rule defining limousine and limousine service that was ostensibly being misused because limousines were being used to carry the kind of transport that open class carriers do now, the DHHS client transport. And so the commission, as a preliminary step, issued the interpretation saying, here's our interpretation of the current rules, and that we're also going to incorporate this as part of a future rulemaking to finalize our interpretation as set out in that order. And that's what they did. They ultimately completed a rulemaking, and in this case, the order does the very same thing. It's an interim interpretation. The commission is now engaged in a rulemaking. They've published, and then they haven't published the rule, but they opened the rulemaking docket in December of 2016. They've received comments on the proposed rule, and there are other changes, but there is one that specifically would add to open class service language that it is prearranged and not on demand. And so, in essence, it follows what happened in the Title 291 case. And I think that case controls here in looking at the authority the Commission has under 75.118.01 to do exactly what it did, determine the scope and meaning of its rule.
What effect would the subsequent rulemaking have on pre-existing authorizations?
Well, if there's a rule in place that changes the definition of what open class service provides, then I think that controls. I don't think there is, and that gets kind of to the color of right doctrine, if you will. That doctrine doesn't apply for a number of reasons. It wasn't raised before the commission, so it's not proper on appeal. It really applies to determining whether an application for authority can be granted. This case doesn't involve an application. It's a legislative proceeding, a rulemaking, or an interpretive decision culminating, hopefully, in rulemaking. And also the longevity requirement for color of right. This is 10 to 30 years. This was 6 months or less. Doesn't fit.
Could we say that the commission, instead of interpreting its rule, is actually really amending its rule?
No. I could say that, but I would disagree.
and that's because they are not following the process.
They have specific authority under 75.118 to do just what they did, and this is interim, and they can formalize it as a rule later. They're kind of unique. They're not like other agencies don't have that authority. They have it, and the court recognized it in Title 291.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, 1 minute and 36 seconds.
1 minute and 36 seconds, Mr. Schultz.
I think the court should focus on the history of where and how we got here. The commission adopted a rule that said open class carriers can provide both prearranged and on-demand service. The testimony that my client sought advice from the commission on what open class carriers can do in a different context, because the open class carrier was competing with his taxi company at that time. So open class carriers can pick up anyone, anywhere, anytime. And finally, what the commission did then, once it passed the rule, and that was engage in restricting authorities as it deemed appropriate in each and every application. And many of those restricted against on-demand service. Put some qualifying language in front of the authority. So historically, it can't be said this is the way we interpreted the rule in the past. That's just not an accurate portrayal. And why did they pick prearranged and not on-demand? There's no language there to start with. Just pick one and leave one out. Commission can't simply wave its magic wand and say, our original intent is now revoked, and that rule doesn't mean what it did when we adopted it. Unless they go through the administrative rulemaking process, giving proper notice of what their intent is with regard to the rule.
So if we decide for you, is that what will happen?
Or the commission could make its own decision and say, here's what open class service means. Because when they interpret it in a non-traditional fashion, it's afforded no deference, their decision. So I think the court could do a number of things, including reach its own conclusion on what open class service is. Questions?
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. This court is adjourned, and you are excused.